Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to celebrate today the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. What a gift, what a grace, and so much is revealed in Our Lady. She's a light and a sign for us of the power of the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father's great work in her and through her. We'll talk about that. Before I jump into that, I want to just kind of go back to conclude a thought from yesterday. Yesterday, we were talking about that amazing gospel where Jesus, a crippled man, a paralyzed man, was brought to him, big crowd around Jesus. They wanted to bring this man to the feet of Jesus so Jesus could heal him, right? And they couldn't get to him because the crowd was too deep. And so they climbed up on the roof, pulled him up there, lift the tile, took the tiles off the roof, and let him down into, the scripture says, in the presence of Jesus. And I mentioned that as a really beautiful picture of what evangelization is all about bringing sinful, broken people into the presence of Jesus, who ended up forgiving this man's sin, which surprised everybody. Clearly, everyone understood that that man was brought there for Jesus to work a miracle. And at the beginning of that gospel, St. Luke said that the power to heal was on Jesus at that moment, that God the Father was working for him. And it was one of those special moments in the gospel when he not only wanted to manifest the truth about Jesus' preaching by working a sign and a wonder and a miracle, but he wanted to reveal something deeper. It's one of those moments where the revelation of the authority of Jesus is there. Jesus forgave this man's sin, and the gathering of leaders from all over the area were there, Pharisees, scribes, and others, those who had authority to teach the law, and they thought, who is this guy, and who does he think he is? Only God forgives sins. And instead of being able to see, like others could see in the moment, that Jesus is extraordinary, he's not just a teacher, a great teacher of the law, he's more than that. And their hearts were open. They had hearts of like children of faith, and they could receive Jesus as being God's son and being present and bringing God's presence in a way no one else ever could, but not the leaders. The leaders said, no. Only God can forgive sins, and we know this guy's not God. So what he's doing is blasphemy. It's way out of bounds. He can't do this. And Jesus said, look, I know what's in your heart. I know what's in your heart. I know what you're thinking about me. But let me ask you this question, which is easier? For me to say your sins are forgiven or to raise this man? And then he said, I'm going to show you something today. And I'm going to show you that my Father in heaven has given me authority to forgive sins on earth. In the command, he said, rise and walk. So this man rises and walks. It's so important for us to see that, friends, because as I mentioned last week on the program, you know, there's this study that came out, you know, this year, big study. And Catholics were involved in the study, and there were statements that were made to agree or disagree. And one of the statements was, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. And, you know, 57 or 58% of Catholics polled said they agreed with that he was a great teacher, but he wasn't God. And that's staggering. It's a kind of indictment of weak the faith is, and how not only just weak, but just don't have an understanding of the central realities of the faith, that Jesus is God. And this gospel reading was precisely an example of what the Father's entire plan was, to give his son, you know, who shares the divine nature, right? He's the Son of God. He is God in the flesh, the incarnation of God. And it's so important for us to see it. And the signs and the wonders, it's important to see that as well. It confirmed his preaching. And it gave authority. The Father backed his word. I was just thinking of the Catechism, paragraph 6-7. He said, Christ's kingdom, you know, when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, the final age began. And he said, during this age, the Catechism teaches us, is that Christ's kingdom already is manifesting itself, its presence through the miraculous signs that attend its proclamation by the church. Jesus had said, greater signs than these will accompany those who believe. And the Lord wants the church, and the Father wants, when Jesus is really communicated and really preached, when, as that gospel reading said, that day, The spirit of healing came on Jesus, right? The Father was there. There's times when, in certain circumstances, the Lord's going to work in and through the preaching of his church to back that word and to manifest the glory of Jesus and the claims of Jesus by working signs and wonders. And of course, there's no more beautiful sign, an amazing sign in the life of the church than what Jesus did, the redemption of Jesus did, and the wisdom and the power and the plan of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit did through Our Lady. Such a precious dimension, a reality in our faith. And I want to just take up the paragraphs from the Catechism so we can see really what is the Immaculate Conception and what has God done, because it's beautifully stated in the Catechism. So paragraph 490, to become the mother of the Savior, Mary was, quote, was enriched by God with gifts appropriate to such a role. So what we're seeing in the Immaculate Conception is she had a specific role in history, obviously, right? No one else would share flesh and blood, literal flesh and blood, DNA, with Jesus, and Mary's the only one, and the holy, sinless, precious, eternal Son of God could not be conceived in the womb of a fallen, someone who is stained by original sin. We'll see this. Paragraph goes on. The angel Gabriel, at the moment of the Annunciation, salutes her as, quote, full of grace. This mighty angel, archangel, comes to her and he addresses her. He doesn't just say Mary, he says, hail, hail, full of grace. Because he knew, he understood. This mighty angel understood who he stood before. And she's the one full of the gifting of God. The precious grace of God has been poured into her. And says, in fact, it goes on, the Catechism, in order for Mary to be able to give the free assent of her faith to the announcement of her vocation, that is to Gabriel here, it was necessary that she be wholly born by God's grace. So she's free to say yes or no to the offer of what's coming. Her freedom is not impeded, but what God did through her, what we'll see in the next paragraph, prepared her for the docility and the receptivity and the holiness that God worked in her to be able to receive and walk in her vocation. Paragraph 491. Through the centuries, the church has become ever more aware that Mary, full of grace through God, was redeemed from the moment of her conception. Many times people, when they hear the Immaculate Conception and related to Mary, they think, well, Mary's the mother, but the Immaculate Conception was Jesus's birth. And Jesus's conception, excuse me, and not Mary's. But here's the actual dogma of the Immaculate Conception stated by Pope Pius IX, proclaimed in 1854. It said, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. All right, you and I have been baptized as babies. The central act there of baptism is to bring us from death to life and to remove from us the stain of original sin that we receive from our own parents and all the way down from Adam and Eve who fell. And Scripture is so clear that man is born into sin. Paul says in Ephesians, that beautiful chapter 2, beautiful chapter where he said, you know, we were dead in our sins, but we were made alive in Christ. Well, here's where Mary was made alive fully, and she was protected from that stain of original sin. And it's important to see, it's a singular grace. It's a singular gift from God. It's a privilege given by Almighty God. It originates in God. All the power comes from God, and the merits of her Son, Jesus, the Father applied the death and resurrection of her Son to her own conception. Jesus saves everyone, including his mother. Sometimes people get confused, like the Catholic Church is saying that Mary somehow is a half human being, half God, something like that, and that Catholics worship Mary as somehow being divine. No, Mary's a creature. She's a human being. But God acted in her life for the salvation of the world. In paragraph 492, the splendor of an entirely unique holiness by which Mary is enriched from the first instant of her conception comes wholly from Christ. She is redeemed in a more exalted fashion by reason of the merits of her Son. What a beautiful thing. And there's Jesus quintessentially fulfilling the commandment to honor your father and your mother, right? He's honoring his mother. The first disciple said the Father blessed Mary more than any other created person, quote, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and chose her in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Thanks be to God. We celebrate today, and yes, we honor Our Lady and with such gratitude, and she's the first disciple. She was, you know, raised to heaven in the Assumption, and she was crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth. We celebrate that on the Feast of the Assumption. And now she's interceding for us on our behalf. And so many, Jesus has given over to his mother, Mary, so many responsibilities in the kingdom. And it's so amazing to see not only what, how the Lord has exalted and crowned her, but what the Lord exalts and crowns, period. Humility, obedience, love, mercy, kindness. And this is in her. And she wasn't in this world, the world missed her, so to speak. She was what? She was very young. She had probably no influence in the city or the village or the culture, politically, financially. You know, she wasn't a somebody. But God was drawn to the beauty of the humility that was worked in her. And God is telling us something, friends, about what he entrusts his Son to humility, to obedience, to love. And I think I might have mentioned this last week even. I've thought a lot over the last few weeks in particular about the simple lessons that Our Lady, the first disciple, you know, as St. Paul said, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Mary's the first disciple. I'm happy to imitate St. Paul, but imitating Our Lady, what do we see? That small, humble people saying yes to Jesus are mighty in the kingdom of God, even though the world may not even recognize you. So acts of love from humility with obedient hearts, God loves it, and God will honor it and crown it, and we should learn from her. She wants to teach us this, and she taught us three things I keep thinking about. Here, be it done unto me according to thy word, she told the angel. The Spirit of God had overshadowed her, and the Spirit of God overshadows us. Number two, once she received it and believed it, she began to magnify the Lord. We should magnify the Lord, friends, no matter what the circumstance in our life, for the miracle of what he's doing in our lives. He's come to live in us as in a temple. And number three, she said, do whatever he tells you to do at the wedding at Cana. That's all we need to know. In sum, that's what the life of a disciple is all about. And Our Lady is the model, and she's praying for us. She's pulling for us. She's battling for us. And she comes to comfort us in the presence and power of the Spirit as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.